Good morning, everybody.
Ounces of Information by Central States Beverage Company.
How do you do? Hello and welcome to the year's first episode of Ounces of Information, brought to you by Central States Beverage Company. I am your host, Aaron Robison, podcasting from the CS Bev Marketing Studios. Still, I never leave. Don't know the lock combo. First episode, and already switching things up a bit. Instead of the familiar, where we speak at length with one of the many incredible supplier partners about what they're supplying, beers, seltzers, innovations, flagships, the works, from which, within this last year, we had a ton of great conversations, and I feel, in a lot of ways, like we got a little closer. Not this year, no. We're taking a deeper dive into our portfolio, and each month this year, we'll be putting a spotlight on the many different things that make our distribution portfolio so strong. This month, in honor of Dry January, let's talk non-alcs, or non-alcoholic. You gotta shorten everything now. By now, most are familiar with Dry January, whether you participate in it or not. The goal of going the entire month without drinking any alcohol. It can be a major aid in New Year's resolutions, developing healthier habits, curbing addictive tendencies, and living a more fulfilling lifestyle overall. And as we can see from the sales numbers, that this notion is popular and only gaining steam. In the past couple years, our non-alcohol portfolio has grown exponentially from exciting NA beers like Dogfish Head's Lemon Quest and Samuel Adams' Just the Haze, to canned coffees like La Colombe, to wildly popular energy drinks like Red Bull on the Kansas side and ZOA Energy on the Missouri side. So today we're giving the NAs its due and talking to some industry leaders about why all the buzz is in the drinks that are buzzless. Joining me today to talk NA are a trio of incredible guests. Starting with Molson Coors Regional Sales Manager for non-alcoholic brands, Mr. Mark Wiltsy. Then, Lagunitas' very own Steve Kohler is back to discuss the success of Hoppy Refresher and IPNA. Then, I didn't have enough time to find a drum roll sound. Or I didn't look. But, Boulevard Brewing Company brewmaster Stephen Powles stops by to discuss the complexities of brewing an NA beer like Flying Start. But first,
this could have been an email.
You didn't think this could have been an email was going to just go away, did you? I made an intro for it and everything. I mean, come on. It's a lot of work. A little work. Irish Ale is back. Boulevard's longest tenured seasonal offering returns to trucks this month. Look for bottles on shelves and kegs tapped around the metro. And enjoy it while it lasts, because it just goes so quick. Topo is here. The much-anticipated Topo Chico Hard Seltzer has arrived and is making its way Mo-side. Look for strawberry guava, tangy lemon lime, exotic pineapple, and tropical mango to pair with all the Vizzy Hard Seltzers in market for a solid Hard Seltzer 1-2. Speaking of delicious Hard Seltzers, make way for Truly Margarita. Four new margarita-centric offerings from Truly equals one incredible way to kick off 2022. Plenty further ordering, Missouri side now. And finally, we got to talk about James. James Lemonade and Fruit Punch. Have you guys had this? So good. Locally made, incredibly delicious, James Lemonade and Fruit Punch are available both sides of the state line off our trucks now, so just save some for me. I try to keep it quick because, you know, we've got a lot of stuff to get into today, but just a few things to put a focus on as we start into the new year. As always, though, this could have been an email. All right, let's get to it. First up, my conversation with Molson Coors Regional Sales Manager for Non-Alcoholic Brands, Mark Wiltsy. Mark Wiltsy, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Aaron?
I'm good. I know you're in Texas right now, right?
Yes, sir. I live in Dallas, but I'm on the road. I'm in Houston today.
What's the vibe in Dallas right now after Sunday?
Oof. That's a tough question. I mean, we don't have a happy fan base right now, and fortunately, we were hoping to be selling a ton of beer throughout this playoff run, but it just didn't go our way.
Well, hey, man, it's, you know, one of those days, one of those games. But
Let's keep that vibe down there so we in Kansas City don't feel that for at least another couple of weeks or so.
Exactly.
Keep that high. You can have the nice weather. I can't stay warm to save my life today, but we'll keep the football going. Anyways, we're talking non-alcs today, and specifically the Beyond Beer segment that Molson Coors has, because, you know, Molson Coors isn't necessarily any stranger to non-alcoholic beer in particular, with Coors Edge and some NAs here and there in the past, but this Beyond Beer segment is something that's kind of come on pretty recently, where you guys are going to things that don't have alcohol or beer in the name at all.
Yeah, no, exactly. Here recently, Molson Coors Beer Company became Molson Coors Beverage Company, and led by Pete Marino and that leadership team, have really embraced multiple different facets of not only non-alcs, but Beyond Beer, even with the wine and spirits segment and getting into CBD a little bit. But specifically with non-alc, we dove right into two major growing categories, actually two of the fastest growing categories within the non-alc segment, being energy and ready-to-drink coffee.
Let's talk the ready-to-drink coffee first, especially because we've had La Colombe in-house here for, I want to say, a little more than a year. And you know, we're seeing results, and it's driven by that draft latte. So what makes La Colombe so special?
Yeah, so if you had a chance to try La Colombe, you can taste the difference immediately. It really is a premium product. The ingredients that go into it, it's just so top-notch. And there's not really a draft latte out there. There's a lot of the Starbucks, the Dunkin' Donuts products that fall in that ready-to-drink category. But it truly sets itself apart with the ingredients, the process in which it's made. And it's a company that's been around for about 10 years. They've actually got a series of retail locations in the Northeast, where they have cafes. And so they've got some in the Northeast, some on the West Coast. And it's got quite a big presence here from Philadelphia, and it's starting to really now spread throughout our DSD network. And we're really excited about the opportunity with this La Colombe ready to drink coffee.
So latching on a little bit to what you just said, there is something to be said here for the word draft in the name. Like it's not your normal ready to drink like a Starbucks or a Dunkin'. It's a draft latte. What specifically, I guess for the lay terms, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's a nitrous infused, which it gives it this, when you crack open that can, you kind of hear the nitrous pop, and it has this sweetness to it, actually. The nitrous gas creates not only the sweetness, but that foaminess that you get from a cafe style latte. So when you go to your local convenience store and you grab a La Colombe, you're getting the cafe type experience that you would get by going to a Starbucks or going to your local cafe spot and ordering that latte drink. You're now getting that canned, and you're getting that same quality. So really it's kind of not only the ingredients, but the functionality too of the product separates it from the other brands. And one thing I do want to note too, and probably intentionally, not intentionally, but La Colombe also falls into somewhat of a better for you category. So when you look at ready to drink coffees, you look at your Starbucks, your Dunkin' Donuts, I mean, these brands have, if it's not a true black coffee, it has up to 40 grams of sugar in it. A La Colombe latte, draft latte, will only have about 10 to 11 grams of sugar, less than 120 calories. And even when you look at the new Nitro that is launching this year, that is it's more highly caffeinated, up to 200 milligrams of caffeine in that guy. And that's essentially black, no sweetener. So that's going to be zero sugar and 20 calories. So it also not only has this quality to it, but also falls into that better for you category, which is, as we know, whether it be in beer, non-alc, any category you look at, continues to grow.
True. That nutrition category is definitely one way or the other, especially in this industry. And it's very cool to see a product out there that actually goes the one way that you kind of want to see it go, especially if you're looking for your health. I know we've got the triple draft latte in market and the mocha and the vanilla as well. But the cool thing about coffee in particular is that you can offshoot an awful lot of really good flavors that complement coffee, which La Colombe I've kind of seen has gotten into a little bit. You mentioned the Nitro cold brew that's coming out. Are we going to see any of the other flavors maybe down the road here this year?
Yeah, so we are extremely excited to launch the large format, transition into large format business here in 2022. All of 2021, DSD was focused, our distribution was focused on small format. So our network was servicing your local, your drug stores like CVS and the convenience chains. But what we're doing now in 2022 is taking that business to large format, where La Colombe already has existing flavors and existing business. So you mentioned the nitro cold brew. We've also got the oat milk draft latte in vanilla and original. And actually, this is already an existing flavor that is the number one plant-based option in that ready-to-drink category for coffee. So if you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. It has the creaminess, all the great texture. But I personally, I like it a little more even, the oat milk version, because it doesn't have quite that dairy taste. So it's a nice change and another offering that La Colombe gives to the consumer.
Very cool. Very cool. Can't wait to see that in market very soon. Obviously, energy being the name of the game, it'd be amiss if we didn't talk about the other big project that came out of Molson Coors very recently and just continues to grow with ZOA.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you don't follow The Rock, make sure you go ahead and do so, because he's obviously the founder, one of the founders behind ZOA energy drink. And really that has been, it's been a crazy first year. So ZOA has been in the market for less than a year and ended the year with $20 million in sales. And that's truly unprecedented as a startup brand to be able to go out there and do it. And a lot starts with, obviously, the recognition of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He's the second most followed person on Instagram, almost up to 300 million followers, only behind soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo. So that awareness and presence alone has really catapulted the brand to the extent that even ZOA's Instagram handle has over 200,000 followers on it. And that's more than some of our beer brands have that have been around forever. So from a social media standpoint, the awareness is getting out there much quicker. And I come from the startup world. I've worked for brands like Buy on the non-alc side, where it's taken years to grow that type of awareness. And we're starting to kind of get that immediately. So it's been a really exciting start to the journey with ZOA.
Man, you're absolutely right. I do follow The Rock on Instagram in particular, where it seems like he's at his most active. And this guy is pimping this product left and right. It is like there's not a better spokesperson for any brand than The Rock with ZOA.
Oh yeah, you come across some of these celebrities, and when they're in their prime, anything they touch, whether it be products, acting, anything they do is just gold. And I think we've hit it with The Rock. He's coming out with movie after movie that's on the top of the charts. He's launching other brands. I don't know if you're familiar with his tequila, Teremana, but that has become the fastest growing tequila and has sold over 600,000 cases in just like 2 years' time. And it's growing exponentially faster than what Casamigos did. And we all saw what Casamigos sold for, I think, $1 billion during its prime. So it's exciting. It's great to be partnered with ZOA. We're really excited, and it's been great for the Molson Coors network, because it's catapulted us into this non-alc category.
I think you and I have done a pretty good job here of solidifying our applications for the Rock fan club. But talk a little bit about the energy drink in particular, and what makes it so appealing. Like, it kind of follows that same path that La Colombe is with the kind of better for you vibe, where it's an energy drink, yes, but where energy drinks used to get a bad rap in the past of being just all sugar and all caffeine, which are two things when together need to be done in moderation, to say the least. But there's more to ZOA there, that it's also boosting your immunity as well, right?
Exactly. So ZOA's ambition is to be the number one better for you energy drink. And really, we're leaning heavily on the zero sugar portfolio. And when we look at ZOA, it's got so much going into it. Outside of being just an energy drink, it's got 160 milligrams of caffeine. Caffeine is all natural, coming from green tea extract. So the cool thing about the caffeine aspect is you absorb that more slowly, because it is a natural caffeine, unlike some of these other energy products that will hit you like almost like I call it an uppercut of energy, where you're just suddenly, you're a little bit tingly and you're wired. I honestly feel like it's a nice sustained energy over time. And then you couple that with what you mentioned. I mean, a ton of antioxidants and vitamins. It's got the superfruit in there, Camu Camu, which is a tropical cherry found in the rainforest. And actually, Zoa delivers 100% of your daily intake of vitamin C, which is huge. So I always tell people, if you have an orange juice or a coffee in the morning, you have them both, well, you can knock them both out with the Zoa, getting your natural caffeine as well as your vitamin C that you would typically get from an orange juice. But not only that, it has those B vitamins in it. It has your BCAAs for more of that fitness and that nutrition. And then what I also like about it is it has turmeric in it. So obviously The Rock is a giant muscly man, and anything he drinks, he wants to make sure it benefits him from working out. So obviously the anti-inflammation that comes along with turmeric really rounds out this product and makes it an overall really wellness product. And Zoa really, really feels that this is more than just an energy drink, but almost like a lifestyle drink.
What's crazy to me is everything that is in this drink that you really don't pick up from. Like two things in particular, you just brought up the turmeric, and how if anybody's ever had turmeric just as is, it's a very overpowering flavor. Like anything you put it in, it's almost always going to be the first thing you pick up on. And it's a unique taste, and not always in the best of ways. But you know, to put that in there as a benefit to what you're drinking, you don't pick up on that in any flavor. And the same thing can be said for the zero sugar, how sweetness has to come at the expense of something. And any other type of like low sugar or no sugar energy drink out there, you pick up on what that substitute is, except here it's just, it may as well be 100 calories of sugar.
Yeah, no, I've made that mistake plenty of times with the turmeric that you mentioned. And in my smoothie after a workout, you can definitely overpower anything with turmeric. And no, the taste profile of Zoa is fantastic. I mean, we're really excited. We've got our core SKUs we launched this year. And what we've really seen is some of the top really bold flavors. We've seen wild orange, pineapple coconut, and super berry are really come to the limelight. But this year, we're launching two new SKUs, or two new flavors. We're launching Tropical Punch and White Peach, and both are amazing. You talk about flavor, that Tropical Punch is really going to stand out in that energy category.
I can't wait to try it. I know we just had some hit the warehouse, and I've got to go find some at some point. But yeah, a lot of exciting things coming from Zoa. And you mentioned The Rock and his movie appeal as well. I think there's a big partnership coming out later this year, right?
Oh, yeah. So Zoa's big bet this year is Black Adam. And Black Adam, if you're not familiar with kind of the comic realm, is part of DC. Obviously, more people are a little more familiar with Marvel, which has your Spider-Man and some of the more popular movies lately. But DC, which has your Batman, your Superman, stuff like that, is coming out with a new type Avenger type series with Black Adam and what they call the Justice Society of America. And The Rock himself is going to play Black Adam. It is his first superhero movie. It is supposed to be one of the biggest pop cultural events of the summer. And the great thing is Zoa is the sole beverage tied to the movie. So we are the only beverage with any affiliation to the movie. So what that means is coming here June 1st, you will see the Zero Sugar portfolio have Black Adam cans. So each can will have a different Black Adam character on it. And that will be in market ahead of the movie in June 1st. The movie actually releases July 29th. And that will stay out market throughout probably August till the end of the movie out of theaters. But not only do we have the great cans coming out with the Black Adam imaging, but we have standees of Black Adam. We will have case stackers with Black Adam. We have the rights to use all this different imaging on the point of sale to go out into the trade and a lot of awesome retail tools surrounding this. So not only does Zoa have the hundreds of millions of dollars that Warner Brothers is going to be pumping into the movie, but they themselves are also investing millions to support Zoa and the partnership with Black Adam.
Very cool. That's obviously nothing but excitement to come for the non-alc portfolio here that Molson Coors is putting out with us. Mark Wiltsie, thank you very much for your time. Is there anything that we were missing?
No, I appreciate everything, Aaron. I appreciate everything the team's doing out there. And we're super excited for a strong 2022.
Now, let's talk IP&A with Lagunitas' Steve Kohler.
With January in 2022 and everybody turning that calendar and being like, you know, hey, I'm going to make some changes, or I'm going to be less of this, or I'm going to be more of this, or I'm going to put attention to this. Non-alcoholic, you know, beverages are a really good way to start and maintain those goals. And that's what everybody's looking to in January. So Lagunitas kind of did that last year with the launch of IP&A to complement the hop refresher on in their portfolio. But let's talk a little bit about it now that we have at least a year of both under our belts, like what that looks like from Lagunitas' side.
Yeah, I mean, I know we kind of just pre-chatted about it a little bit, but IP&A is falling into the top 10 of SKUs for Central States, which to me is really, really interesting. I mean, I was one of those guys up until, 3 years ago, never would have even considered an alcoholic as an option. And then we came out with Hop Refresher. Hop Refresher, you know, again, we all were like kind of confused of what the idea was behind it. But then they were like, well, we have all this seltzer water that we're using for our Hi-Fi Hops, which is our marijuana seltzer. And they're like, we're going to hop it and we're going to brand it and sell it. And we're all kind of like, okay, I guess that's an option now. And then so we started doing that. And I remember in true Lagunitas fashion, we were all in Austin, Texas for our national sales meeting in 2017. And I don't know if they gave us like a spoiled batch or if they gave us a test batch. And it was every single one of us were like looking around. We're like, we're going to sell this stuff. This is terrible.
Steve, like, was it because it's Lagunitas, I gotta interject. Was it bong water?
Man, I wouldn't put it past brewers to accidentally spill some bong water in the mix. But yeah, it tasted worse than bong water. And I think we've all been to college and tasted bong water. So let's be real. So anyway, I just remember we were like, oh my God, this is terrible. And then they bottled it. And I remember it came to Kansas City and I was talking to our Ira rep and she is the funniest person in the world. And she was like, oh man, I can't stop drinking these Hop Refreshers. I was like, Sam, you're killing me. And she's like, no, it is different. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm not even going to try it again. It was so bad. She's like, Steve, it's different. I promise you. And then like four other people at Lagunitas were like, dude, this is actually pretty good. They changed something. So I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll go buy it. I went to Gomer's here in Midtown where I live right by it. And they had some. And I was like, oh, four pack. And I was like, oh my God, this is really good. But ever since then, I mean, my mind's changed about it. And you can slowly kind of see in the past 2 years, again, it's doubled its growth nationally 3 years in a row without any support behind it from Lagunitas. I mean, it's just kind of one of those SKUs where, I mean, you could ask our brand managers and the sales rep, they're like, hey, if Steve comes in any of your accounts, does he focus on hop water at all? And they're going to be like, I mean, he might talk about it here and there, but he's not pushing it like I'm pushing IPA or Little Sam Sam or even, you know, new cool one-hitter SKUs, you know, Willitize or Unrefined Sugar or something like that. But then we have the reverse where it's IP&A, where, like you said, almost a year to the day, we launched it to celebrate Dry January. We put $1 million behind it. We did all this marketing and we went to influencers and we really, really wanted to get the name out there, and it's instantly taken off. And it is outselling Hop Refresher nationally. I believe in Kansas City here, it's pretty neck and neck, which is really, really cool to watch, especially since, you know, in a year to catch up for a SKU after 3 years.
I want to get into IPA in a second here, but back to the Hop Refresher for a second. Like,
sure.
I guess I consider myself incredibly fortunate that I didn't get that very first experience that you had with it, where it was more like, what is this sort of thing? That same mentality was still kind of there, because if you look at it on its label and on the nose, it's just, this is hop infused seltzer water. You immediately think, well, how does that work? That's not going to be good. But then you actually crack it open and you take a sip and you're like, whoa, like this actually does taste incredibly good. It's great.
So I think it's a very psychological thing, because everybody that reads it is like, hoppy water, and you just kind of think of that real true IPA, that big intense hop, very bitter. You're like, this is going to taste like a beer, and it's the complete opposite, where it's almost juicy. I mean, it's like, and it's just nice and light and crisp, and it's got that carbonation behind it, and you're just like, and it drinks like a soda. You know, it's got a big flavor, but it's not that bitter hop that everyone affiliates it with, right? It's not that West Coast IPA, you know, super dank. It's definitely not our Maximus or Hop Stupid
varietal, right? Like it's this clean, crisp, super bright seltzer water. And I think if you get past that, if you get past the name hop, especially for people who aren't beer drinkers or IPA drinkers, you'll realize it's actually a really, really solid beverage. Right.
It's really, yeah, it's really a staple statement into the whole premise of what we're talking about here, which is something that beer drinkers or, you know, any drinker, really, seltzer drinkers, whatever, if you like liquid, this is something to try because it keeps you in that game longer. It helps you stick with those resolutions. It helps you get through to a dry January or beyond. You know, it helps those who are recovering from addiction. It helps everything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the coolest things whenever I did, you know, when we were allowed to do it back in 2019, do tastings, I would always try and taste that out. And the number of women that were pregnant that would take them a four pack because their husband would come up to the table, boyfriend or whatever, friend would come up and, you know, try the beer and they'd be like, oh, I can't, you know, and like rub the belly type thing that I always get and I'm like, oh, well, we have this non-alcoholic option. And they're like, oh, I miss beer. Yeah, let's try it. And they're like, oh, this is really good. And, you know, that's how, you know, I was really like, oh, this is a really cool option for stuff like that. Because at first, right. You know, you think about it, you're like, oh, it's a soda type thing, right? Or it's a LaCroix or something like that. And then it's just people who want a beer-esque flavor, can't drink, don't want to drink, or are quitting drinking and just want that friendly reminder. Or hell, even just to hold a bottle in their hand, right?
Right, right. The social aspect of it.
Exactly. But also, I know it helped me. Again, I haven't fully cut soda out of my diet, but I made a solid replacement. But it's no calories, no sugar, no carbs, none of that stuff. So like,
you know, right on.
As a guy who used to drink two or three sodas a day, which was super unhealthy, and you cut that out, you know, I have a soda maybe once or twice a month now.
Congratulations.
You know, thanks. You cut that stuff. You cut that stuff out, and you instantly lose 7 pounds. You're like, oh my God, what happened? You're like, oh, that's right. I'm not drinking soda like an idiot.
You know, that is a good seg into the IPA portion. So let's bring that into the conversational fold here. You did mention, and we did talk off mic just a little bit, that it is kind of the 1 year anniversary, not just of our podcast conversations, but of IPA, because that's kind of what was leading the reason behind the first podcast that we did was we're launching a non-alcoholic beer from Lagunitas. And you mentioned that you had never had necessarily a non-alcoholic beer, and you definitely didn't pursue them prior to this. And I can tell you, as somebody on the distribution side of it, non-alcoholics have come such a long way from where I first started trying them to now. And just the innovation behind it, Lagunitas obviously being no exception, and I can't wait to get into it because I did a little bit of a backstory kind of like research on IPA and the process that you guys pay to this beer in particular is crazy. You know, do you want to get into it a little bit? Cause I can go all day.
I mean, you're talking about the brewing process or are you talking about
a little bit,
how we can,
yeah.
Do you know what? I gotta be honest with you. It sounds like you did a little bit more research than I did.
That's cool. No worries.
I kid you not, the whole process of the process of brewing beer, I've done it a couple of times. It's a lot of fun, but this whole process is just a whole different style. You have to do all these crazy things. We had to buy a whole new brewing system for it. We have to take stuff out. We have to add stuff in. We have to make sure everything's at the right temperature, like on spot. And then, because you have to use brewer's yeast to get the beer in there. And then it does all that stuff. And then it reacts to all the sugars and the malt. And then you have to kind of take it out. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. That's the very simple Steve version.
Trust me, we don't really need to go into like the deep brewer's version of it either, because that I don't think that would be doing anybody justice. But we could stick with the basics here, and I think probably the most impressive part of it to me is still incredibly basic. Like anybody, most beer drinkers, especially those who sell it, understand that, like, you know, the brewing process is incredibly complex. It is a science, but much like cooking or doing anything with alcohol, the more heat you apply, the less alcohol you're going to get. Like the whole point, like if you cook with alcohol, everybody says, well, the heat cooks out, or the alcohol cooks out with the heat, the hotter it gets. And there's truth to that. But Lagunitas, you know, what I was reading with IPA is that that's also the big primary enemy of freshness, or what we as beer drinkers consider freshness to our palate. This IPA process removes the alcohol through not like, you know, giving away trade secrets or anything like that on the process. And obviously they wouldn't do that online anyway. There's like a vacuum sort of process for the alcohol. It doesn't, you do it where you're not removing heat, which is incredibly impressive.
you're brewing everything at the same temperatures that you're going to be brewing beer at. Yeah, absolutely. But that whole vacuum, I got to see a video of it, and it's almost like mind-boggling where science has come from, where you're just like, where did this come from? I can't really dive too much into it. I can't describe it because you're right. It's essentially a vacuum. Man, I don't even know how it works. Jeremy Marshall is our head brewer, and that dude pretty much took a job at Lagunitas instead of NASA. That dude is just brilliant.
I mean, if this conversation is really leading into anything, it's more just to spotlight the fact that there is so much that goes into brewing Lagunitas IPNA that wasn't there in a brewing beforehand, that it shows every single time you drink something like an op Lagunitas IPNA. And
it's so intense, and I'm sorry to interrupt there. Intense because one of our big things, you know, our friend company there, Heineken, does 00, as we all know. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to do a 00, and their equipment that they were like, we would have had to buy a Lagunitas brewery, like a Chicago brewery, wow, to get 00, because ours is at point five, so there's
right,
still a little bit of alcohol in NA. But that was one of our biggest questions: is it going to be a 00 like Heineken? Just the whole process, man. It's just a crazy thought to see that brewing no alcohol or less alcohol beers is actually harder to brew than beer with alcohol in it. And for some, I'm like, well, why don't you just do this? And they're like, well, you have to add the brewer's yeast. You have to do this. You absolutely have to do this. And you're right. And it's the vacuum process takes forever. I mean, yeah. If you remember, we were getting shorted of IPNA at one point in time because we couldn't brew it fast enough because we didn't know the process. I mean, we did know, but you know, we didn't know the quantities and the demand for it would affect our brewing process so much of IPNA. I mean, we have to have all hands on deck when we brew that.
But it's more of a testament to show that like the investment and the amount of time that it takes to do this is really the attention to detail that you wouldn't give something that at least wasn't selling and wasn't working in market. You would drop it real quick. Like everybody knows that. So fact that this is still going and still strong shows that the NA market really has a lot of potential, and we do need to be paying attention to that.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's clear as day when you walk into any liquor store. I mean, if you walked into a liquor store, I'll say 2 years ago, they didn't have a whole NA door, right? I mean,
right.
Now you go into, again, I'm going to use this as a reference, right? Because it's right across around the corner for me, is Gomer's Midtown. You walk into Gomer's Midtown, and they ordered an extra cooler, right? They have a little side cooler, which was originally going to be their NA cooler. Now it's kind of their FMBs and stuff like that. But you walk in and you take a right and you look right into the door, the first thing you see is the NA door. And then, you know, places like Lucas Liquors or Mike's or any of the big chair, you know, Tipsy's Liquors, they all have an NA door, every single one of them. And that wasn't a thing 2 years ago. What FMBs and seltzers were doing, where everyone was calling it a trend, it's no longer a trend. You know, it's there. It's, you know, it's a segment of Nielsen data and kind of craft, which is really, really interesting. Or I shouldn't even say a craft of all beer. Right.
There you go. Final question. If you had a game night, are you playing Settlers of Catan or Cards Against Humanity?
That's tough. Okay, so I like both of them. I like Settlers of Catan, but actually I just celebrated my 35th birthday and I had a couple of Central States folks over, actually. And we played my favorite board game, Risk.
Really? I wasn't going to bring up Risk because I thought it was too much like Settlers of Catan, but okay.
Do you know what? I started out on Risk. My father has a set of Risk from like the 1960s where it's like this beautiful board and it's just extravagant and like, you're like, wow, they built things with quality and not crappy little plastic and cardboard. And I mean, the pieces are like metal or tin, so they're like sturdy and, you know, it's a really cool. So I grew up on that game. So,
oh, nerd.
Yeah. Oh, God. Hey, man. I'm a huge nerd. And now, don't get me wrong. The reason Cards Against Humanity, I am the guy that goes for like the over the top. Like, why would you do this? This is terrible.
Oh, of course. That's the win.
You see, sometimes you think that, and then that usually gets me kind of put in the doghouse. It's like, you are a disgusting human, Steve. You need to stop.
We need to play some more Cards Against Humanity together, it sounds.
So oh, that's, yeah.
That's Steve Kohler, Lagunitas, I obviously appreciate your time coming in and talking NA.
Oh, my pleasure, man. It's always great chatting with you. You know that.
And finally, here's the conversation with Boulevard Brewmaster Stephen Powles.
Mr. Powles, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very well. I appreciate you taking the time out to do this, by the way.
Yeah, no problem at all. No, happy to help. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, then I guess we can get right into it. First of all, Mr. Powles, again, thank you.
Please call me Stephen.
Okay, all right. We're at that level now.
Mr. Powles was he's not here anymore.
Stephen Powles, Brewmaster at Boulevard Brewing Company. I appreciate you taking your time out of your day. How are you today, first and foremost?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We're talking specifically this month about non-alcoholic beers and the non-alcoholic things that we sell as a company, and it would be amiss greatly to not talk about the big one that come out of Boulevard. I think at the start of last year, but now year round for this year, Flying Start non-alcoholic IPA.
Yeah, it's we looked at non-alcoholic beers for a number of years over the years, and especially because our mothership is a Belgian company, it's Duvel. Non-alcoholic beers in Europe are a thing. They are a big volume in Europe for a number of reasons. And it's when we brought it up and we were thinking about that, so we directly had good support from Belgium out. And they don't make an alcoholic in Belgium. Well, they do with Leafmans, I think, a fruit beer. But at the end of the day, we had some technical advice from them, but it was minimum. So it's been a really interesting road to get to this beer, I have to say. Well, a big learning curve.
So it sounds like there's an awful lot of like changes that go about from a departure of the natural brewing process for brewing beers with alcohol in it.
There is, and there's several ways to do this to make an non-alcoholic beer. A lot of ways to make non-alcoholic beers involve instrumentation, big instrumentation, so big investments up front for a brewery to do that. There's also other ways to do this when you just work with different yeast strains, and that's what we do. When you work with a different yeast strain, is to make less alcohol in the beer than what a normal yeast strain would do.
Interesting. So is this a process where you're basically just, ripping out equipment and putting in brand new stuff just for the purpose of brewing Flying Start?
No, that's exactly what we didn't do. No, that's a great question. Like I explained, there's a way to do this, but for us, we didn't know how big Flying Start could be. So as we approached this project, one of the things that we did is the first time that we made Flying Start, it was a collaboration with Athletic Brewing Company. The Athletic Brewing Company only makes non-alcoholic beers. They really carved out the way of non-alcoholic beers, and that's basically what this brewery does. So we made the non-alcoholic beer with them, thinking that, okay, I'm going to learn a lot from this, because like I said, the learning curve on this was pretty steep. And as soon as we started working with them, it was really cool, because one of the owners, the guy who started this brewery, had a lot of respect for Boulevard. And actually, as soon as we started working on this project, one of the first things he said, I stopped by at the beer hall, I tasted all your beers, and they're all just super fantastic. We are so grateful to working with us. And we're like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to get all the secrets and learn a lot here. Second thing he said was, I'm sorry, I'm glad you want to work with us, but we are not going to tell you any of our secrets. What are we going to do here? But we made the beer no matter what. And I think there was in between the lines, I could read how they were doing it. But I think it was a great collaboration, because I think we taught them quite a bit of things, especially when it came to making IPAs and the way we make IPAs and how you can create a lot more hop character in your beer. And on the other hand, like I said, they wouldn't really tell me everything, but I think in between the lines, I could learn a lot. And I really still have a really great relationship with the brewer over there. And we email on a regular basis on multiple different things. And it's been a great relationship.
That's very cool. And actually, that's a really good segue into kind of what I was hoping to get into here, which is, the fact that when you first crack a Flying Start and you drink this beer as a non-alcoholic beer, to someone who drinks beer regularly with alcohol, you're kind of blown away versus other non-alcoholic beers that we've had in years past that did not taste anything like beer and kind of had a bad stigma around this particular genre in the industry. What specifically, without, I guess, giving away any sort of trade secrets here, you know, goes into making a non-alcoholic beer more flavorful than an NA, say, 5 years ago?
I think there's the industry and the technology has changed a little bit, especially when it comes to the yeast strains that are available. I think when we made Flying Start as a collaboration, I did a couple of attempts before that, not really knowing a lot how to make non-alcoholic beers. And they were not that great, I have to tell you. I learned really quickly that non-alcoholic beers have a distinct flavor. And it's a wort flavor. It's, you know, it is what it is. When you make these beers this way, they have a wort flavor. Now, the whole idea is, if you want to make this beer taste really like beer, how do you overwhelm the wort flavor? What do you do? So it was pretty quickly that we came to the conclusion, well, we're not going to make a blonde ale, not alcoholic, because I wouldn't know how to mask that wort flavor. But we can make a big IPA, you know, a very hop forward IPA, and that hop aroma will probably mask quite a bit of that hop of the wort character. And that's what we did, and that's why we started. When we came out with a non-alcoholic beer, we discussed several options, but I pushed really hard to make it an IPA because I knew it would taste like beer.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do feel pretty confident saying that this is Boulevard's first non-alcoholic endeavor, right?
It is. Yeah.
So yes. Why 2022 to be like, okay, we're going year round with this?
Well, you know, I'm not the marketing guy. I'm not the sales guy, I have to say. But having said that, there is definitely a big trend in all alcoholic beer. And we see that. And we know when there's trends, we like to be ahead of the trend when it comes to innovation here. But also, you know, I think that non-alcoholic beer is carving out a big portion of the craft beer industry, and there's just not that money out there yet. There's quite a few out there. There's some that are great, and there's some that are, you know, some people haven't done their due diligence and not really come up with the best beer I think they possibly can. So I think there's definitely a room for us. And if I look at, you know, we get comments from customers all the time, and most of the reviews that we get from Flying Start has always been, it's usually like, okay, I had no idea that an alcoholic beer could taste this good, or this is a great IPA, I had no idea it was not alcoholic. You know, so they're all really great compliments.
I totally share that too. You kind of see that a lot in market, people trying it for the first time. And one of the other things that we're constantly fighting in market is, you know, trying to educate the general public on the process of brewing and how long it actually takes. So whenever you're doing a year-round beer like Flying Start, what goes into forecasting the brewing schedule for an entire year?
Well, that's the way we work is that we basically make beer to order. So we ask our wholesalers to give us a forecast, or give us their forecast of their sales for the coming month, and then we will make the beer to fill that order. So that way we know that the beer will be as fresh as possible, and we never really build up a bunch of inventory in our brewery. Now, that's the day-to-day operation. There is also a year planning that goes out. That's where the salespeople come in, where they sit down on a yearly basis with the wholesalers and ask them, like, okay, here are the products that we're going to make. Here are the beers that we're going to make. How many of these really do you think you can sell? And based on that, we start with our forecasting, and then we start with our with supply chain, with, you know, all the ingredients that we need, and we can start forecasting and contracting and stuff like that.
I know you kind of alluded to it in a previous question, previous response, but we're talking about how here in 2022 with Boulevard, you guys are trying to stay ahead of the curve, and I think successfully doing so with the non-alcoholic doors in retail accounts. But where do you kind of see the innovation of non-alcoholic beers and non-alcoholic options, you know, 5-10 years from now?
That's a tough question. you know, my idea for Flying Start, it's basically space camper non-alcoholic. That was the idea from the get-go when we made this beer. When we do these new innovations, I always try to kind of bundle them or get a background idea or, you know, get a background story on these. And I thought that if Space Camper keeps growing, then this becomes one of the many IPAs that we make that fall under that umbrella. That was my thinking about that. But when we came to the designing of it and marketing part of it, it was pretty clear that we probably should not do that because it was kind of too different and make any beers as a different umbrella, basically. Now, how are they going to evolve? You know, I think that it's definitely, I think, if you look at the consumer nowadays, they definitely are very concerned about their health. These beers are definitely falling in the category of healthier living. How big it's going to be, I think there's definitely quite a bit more. I think there's probably going to be competition of probably non-alcoholic seltzer, hard seltzer, which is probably going to be called that seltzer. I don't know. But I can see that happening in the future also, that the non-alcoholic hard seltzer category might be growing.
Totally agree. So it sounds like the door is open here for more Boulevard non-alcoholic options.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends. You know, we're a company. You know, we look at what's growing and where things are going. If Flying Start has a good start and goes up flying, then we'll definitely there'll be more sisters and brothers to Flying Start. If Flying Start is kind of like doing okay, then I'm not sure if there's going to be anything else from our part. You know, I mean, we're here to make sure that we make what the consumer wants. If the consumer kind of gives the sign like, this is great, but January is over, dry January is over, dry February is over, I'm not going to go back to any beers, then we learned a lesson. You know, it definitely has a lot of potential.
All right. So I'm just going to throw this out there. And, you know, if you don't like it, throw it right on back. Non-alcoholic Tank 7.
Oh, that came out of nowhere. That's a good one. You know, I think that from a technical point, Tank 7, the flavor of Tank 7, the flavor profile of Tank 7 is very much yeast dependent. It's that typical Tank 7 yeast strain that makes those different flavor profiles. I don't think there could be, but I haven't found one yet, but it could be a non-alcoholic beer that makes those flavors, but I'm not sure. And it's a really great question because now you make me curious and I'm going to start hunting. If there is a yeast strain out there that can make these flavors.
If I ever see it, I'm going to be blown away.
Yeah. You know, I get the question to make it Tank 3.5 all the time. So don't worry. It's all possible. You know, it's like I said, the what's happening in the yeast development world right now, because there's so many small breweries, it's like a side industry of the craft brew industry. It's a side industry. And one of them is this yeast development and manipulation, if I can call it that way, to make all these different yeast strains. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is a strain out there that could do that, but I'm going to start looking for it. That's a great question.
Very cool. I myself would be very curious to see here in the very near future if we start seeing craft beers that are the NA version of their namesake. I kind of wonder if that's where we're going.
Yeah. And again, like I said, this yeast strain that we used for this to make an IPA is a very, very clean somewhat yeast strain. And it's not a Belgian yeast strain to make any beers.
Steven, thank you so much for your time. Again, I know, you know, being the brewmaster at somewhere like Boulevard, you got a lot on your plate. So carving out a few minutes for a conversation like this is always appreciated.
I love doing these things and I like to educate people and help people understand what we're trying to do. So this is wonderful. I love doing these things and I really appreciate giving me a chance to do this.
Absolutely. I hope to have you back here at some point in the very near future. This is always a great conversation.
Good luck selling to everybody who's listened to this podcast. And thank you very much for everything you do for us. And you make us successful. And we really appreciate that.
Ounces of Information by Central States Beverage Company.
Major thank you for listening and joining today to discuss the CS Bev world of NA. If these conversations were any indication, we have some seriously exciting products in the warehouse to deliver to Kansas City every day. Don't forget to listen in the next month's episode, though, where we basically go the exact opposite way in our portfolio and discuss barrel aging. But for now, dry January and beyond, listen in and drink it up.